I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast. But his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 86, and today, Davis Wenzel is going to join us from Salt Lake City, Utah. He was player of the month for the for Round Rock in the minor league system. But first, we're going to go to the big leagues, and
yeah,
we have a lot to discuss.
One thing that just popped in my head, though, way off subject. I think Davis might have been number 86 one spring.
Really?
Yeah, we have to look that up.
You know who we'll get? Joe Sigler will know that.
Well, okay.
He could pull that up for us.
Anyway.
Joe, you're on it. If you're watching this, find out if he was number 86 for us. For
some reason, that's just sticking in my head. Anyway.
Yeah, the high numbers on those guys that get invited to camp and do all of that.
I think Cody Bradford was 93 this year, so he's upgraded to like 60-something.
You're right.
Yeah.
Anyway, well,
let's
Yeah, let's get to the big league team. While there's some great things going on with the big league team, a great series going on, kind of the worst-case scenario with Jacob deGrom happened.
Well, you know... The worst case, I think, would have been a shoulder injury. I think shoulder injuries are worse than elbow injuries to come back from and be effective. But yeah,
they seem to take longer to
pretty
recover.
Lousy news. You know, if you're a Rangers fan and you look at the money that the Rangers invested and into DeGrom and saw him pitch the six starts he did make were phenomenal.
Yeah,
I mean, really, you know, after opening day, especially phenomenal. Yeah, I mean it's tough news. It's probably not surprising news ultimately when you consider a couple things. But like, you know, the day before when we had talked to Chris Young about it, you know, he never said that Jacob deGrom will be back on June 28th, which is when the 60 days would have been up. He said, "I expect him to pitch again for the Texas Rangers." You can interpret that however you want. I kind of thought it would be later this season that they would just have to give the elbow a little more time. And then, you know, I think that Jacob was at the at Keith Meister's office getting an MRI as we were talking to Chris. Keith shared the news with Jacob that night and then shared it with the Rangers the next day. Apparently, I haven't talked to Keith, but I heard that he took the three scans that they've had on Jacob's elbow in the last 6 months, right before he signed,
right,
after the injury. So it would have been, he got hurt the 28th. So I think the scan was the 29th and then,
right.
And then whatever day Monday was. And there was just a gradual deterioration. And apparently it just, you know, to common folk like you and me, we wouldn't have any idea, but to a trained world-class physician like Keith Meister, it was pretty obvious. And he recommended the surgery. I think it's interesting that Jacob said, let's do it. Let's get it fixed. I think there are a number of reasons for that too. I think he's tired of being hurt.
Yep.
I think he's tired of the uncertainty. You know, he and Chris Young both talked about clarity. They know what's wrong now. They can attack it and try to make the best of it. Unfortunately for the Rangers, he's not going to be back this year. He's going to miss most of next season. So
right.
That changes things, you know, with the trade deadline coming. I mean, now look, the Rangers have done really well without DeGrom.
No, they really have.
Dunning's pitched well. Nathan Eovaldi and John Gray have been all-star worthy.
Right.
Martin Perez
has been good.
You know, he's been fine. Andrew Heaney's been good enough. You know, the rotation overall has been solid and been a strength of the team. But there's no question that Jacob DeGrom at full strength would make the rotation even better. So what do you do at the trade deadline? So do you go get a pitcher, a starting pitcher?
For depth. That's what mostly it is. Well, look at your depth, by the way. You got Bradford.
Yep.
That could come up who the second start was much better.
Oh, yeah.
Bradford than the first start. Although he went out and gave him five innings against one of the best left-handed hitting teams. Or against left-handed pitching, the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
And he went out and, guys, excuse me, I've got allergies real bad. You're going to hear me clear my throat a few times, but I'll do that the whole time. In any case, I think depth-wise, there are some guys, Owen White's another name gets brought up a lot that maybe could come up and do some spot starts or whatever. If this rotation stays healthy, it's a good rotation. Mm-hmm. But even in a long season, these guys are going to need to take days off or skip a start, stay fresh to go into the playoffs. They've got a good 1-2-3 rotation to go into a playoff series. It's never going to hurt to go get another good arm, and they've got the farm system to do that. They've got the farm system that they could literally walk into the store and throw down the black gold card, whatever it is, and buy whatever's out there. The problem is they're not. Don't be stupid.
Right.
You've got a good thing in place that's going, so you don't have to go in and overpay for anything.
I think, you know, Glenn Otto is coming back, and that's very helpful. Jack Leiter and Owen White have shown really good improvements here, and that's encouraging. Don't know that there are options right now. Like you mentioned, Bradford. It's interesting to kind of see. You know, Taylor Hearn started the game yesterday for AAA Round Rock. Now, he only lasted two-thirds of an inning. I don't know if they're flirting with that idea again. I don't think that's a necessarily a good idea. I think Taylor's strength is as a reliever, but you know, they recognize that they don't have the depth that they thought they were going to have. So, you know, because Jake Odorizzi was the very first guy to get hurt, he didn't even make it out of spring training. So, there are some things there, but the good news is that the five right now are going fine.
Yeah.
It's what happens if somebody does get hurt.
Absolutely.
And you kind of, you know, you have to guard against that. And you know that Dane Dunning's pitched well in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And, he said the other day after his start, it was the same day that the DeGrom news broke, so I guess it would have been Tuesday. He said, you know, I was rooting for Jacob to come back. I was fine going back to the bullpen, doing whatever I could to help the team. So he understands that
if they went out and made a move, he's fine going back.
In a five-man rotation, he's the fifth guy, even though he's pitched really, really well.
Right.
And you're right. And you know, you look at the landscape right now, the teams that are sucky, you know, they don't necessarily have great pitching. There's a reason why they're bad. But, you look at the White Sox. Are the White Sox going to be are they gonna sell? Are they on their way back? You know, they have so much talent and so much was invested into the team. Dylan Cease has got a uncertain future with them, and he's terrific. He was the runner up for the Cy Young last year. Lance Lynn, who's a very familiar face, I think he's in the last year of his deal there.
He'd be a rental.
You know,
but...
I mean, Lucas Giolito. You know, they have names there that would be attractive, and under, you know, various levels of control. So that would affect the pricing, but
then would be cheap.
I still think, though, that the number one thing this team has to do is address the bullpen.
Sure,
and you know, you can get away with a lot if you have a good bullpen. Now.
Right,
but you know, you go back to the 2012 season. Now the Rangers are going to win the division, and obviously we all know what happened. But the thing that I think gets overlooked about that season is that Colby Lewis got hurt right after the All-Star break.
That was the hip injury, right?
It was a flexor tendon. And they used Scott Feldman and a couple other guys to fill in that spot. And that spot on the rotation did not want to start the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you do need to have a guy. And I know they went out and got Ryan Dempster, which kind of blew up on him. Yeah, I think he had a 5 ERA, and, of course, he pitched game 162 and didn't pitch well. So what are you going to – if all – you know, these guys are all thinking about that stuff. And
right.
All these situations that could happen. And again, these Rangers pitchers do have an injury history. So do you go get a mid-tier guy, you know?
Sure.
But you know, can you do better than Dane Dunning? Probably.
Yeah.
You know, but do you want to pay for that? And if you have a big lead, if you're comfortable with the way things are going, and if you think you're going to make the postseason and all you need is some bullpen arms, I still think that's a priority.
Yep. Well, you could take some of these AAA arms and like Dunning or whatever and patchwork that fifth spot with some piggyback stuff that kind of way the Rays do it too. I think Dunning has been serviceable. I mean, you can't complain at all what Dunning's done.
Not at all.
Andrew Heaney had not a great outing. His last outing wasn't good. One of his worst of the season. But, you know, he's done that earlier in the season. He had one of these outings and then he came back and had
against the Orioles he was terrible. And then I think his next start was against the Royals or no, it was against the Astros and then the Royals when he struck out nine in a row.
Yeah, and it's like he saw something. He's one of those. One thing these guys do, and I'm noticing at the plate, Josh Young has been amazing at it, is they're making adjustments. When people start making adjustments on them, they're making adjustments. Heaney saw something that some little mechanical thing and got himself right.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see tonight. By the way, this is Friday, Tampa. This is going to be a fun series.
Yeah.
Two best teams in baseball, yeah. Not just the American League.
Right.
This is the two best teams in baseball are playing for a series in Tampa Bay. It's exciting. John Daniels has his fingerprint on all of this. I'm joking, of course. I heard him with our buddies, our friends over there at the Freak, and he was on with them. And someone tried to say, your hands are all over both teams. And he was like, I don't really have my hands all over.
Yeah.
I'm kind of – Tampa's kind of done their own thing. But anyway, this is a fun – I'm excited to watch this series.
Sure, sure. You know, it's you know, if in early April, if that Houston series was a barometer, if the Yankee
sure.
series is a barometer, this is definitely a barometer.
I mean, yep.
the Rays are really good. They do everything well.
Yep.
They do it in a different way, you know, with they lean heavily on the numbers. They
right.
They piece a roster together every year with their limited budgets and through their farm system. I mean, you know, Wander Franco, Nate Lowe's brother Josh is having a great year.
Right.
There are just these this terrific evaluation and development that they do to constantly put themselves in this position, and it will be fun to see, you know, and it's going to be a test for this group, and I obviously they're not intimidated. They have the best record in baseball since May 1, better than the Rays, so it'll be fun to see, you know, and Rangers are playing well. The Rays keep winning. They're, you know, it's the two best teams with the Rays at 46 wins to the Rangers 40. I mean, that's a pretty big gap. But of course, you know,
I think they've played like four more games than the Rangers.
Well,
too.
You know, the Rays started the season so hot, winning whatever it was, 11, 12, or 13 in a row. Shit,
right.
It was a pretty impressive number, but it's going to be fun, and I look forward to actually watching these games. I wish I could have been in Tampa, and in all honesty,
the Rangers could get swept and still show out well.
Yeah.
You know what, in these tight games, losing 3-2 or something like that, not getting blown out of there and people going, see, here's the reality. They're just not when they get with a good team or whatever. You know, I think you go in there and win one game, you got to be happy. That's a good team. And winning one game or not getting blown out of the doors out, kind of what happened when Seattle came to town and the Rangers basically just shut them down and said, you know, we're the team this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So far. Things change in a season. It's a long season.
Right, but it'll be it'll be a competitive series.
I think so, too.
It'll be a test for the bullpen, I think. You know, you'll have to – these should be close games in theory, and you'll see some uncomfortable situations in the bullpen, you know, and I still get kind of amazed at how they're doing it, you know, with – you know, our buddy Grant Anderson, who was on the last episode,
right?
He gave up his first runs on Monday, and but he had pitched really well the Friday before, so
right.
And then Josh Spores on Tuesday night was
that guy
was phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, that guy right there right now is I think Bochy, that's an arm he's trusting right now. That and Smith, obviously Will Smith, who is the closer right now. He's going to get those closes. He's done well.
Yeah.
I think that could get exposed. That slider of his is amazing, but that fastball's topping out 92, 93.
Well, it's about changing speeds.
Absolutely.
And he's done it before. He knows how to do it. Yep. You know, it's I'm still wondering if they're going to turn Jose Leclerc loose in a situation like that. Because he has pitched well. I know last time he was in that spot, it was at Pittsburgh, I believe, and it got a little hectic there.
You see what Hernandez did?
Jonathan Hernandez is now in the minor leagues, so right. The Rangers. But he had 1 2/3 scoreless innings in his AAA debut. Yesterday, Joe Barlow pitched in that game. He's on rehab from his kidney stone situation. So, you know, when it comes time to when those guys are. Jonathan's going to spend time in AAA.
Right.
He's got to get straightened out. Joe could come back pretty much as soon as he's healthy, but he is on option, and there has to be a spot for him. You know,
right.
There might be with John King, who hasn't pitched a lot, and when he has pitched, it hasn't been good, and probably no fault of his own. I mean, they sat on him for about 8 days, I think it was, something like that. So, you know, it's kind of like Bubba Thompson, who went down. If you don't pay, if you don't play, if you don't get at-bats, if you don't pitch, if you're not in games throwing pitches, you're gonna decline. And so it might be a situation where this bullpen, the guys that have options are swapped in and out. I don't want to say regularly, but are swapped in and out, and you know, you just go with the hot hand and see what works.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's fun. This is fun again. This town is fun. It's fun to cover this team. I mean, they're playing so well at the big league level. I mean, they could go 500 the second half, and they're going to finish 19 games over 500.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, and you know, and we're talking about good problems. You know, like last year at this time, we're talking about, oh well, maybe they should give this guy a look and see what he has.
Yep.
Because you know, what do you have to lose? And now it's like, you got to win. You might want to try this guy because he might be able to help you win in tight situations and get you to improve your positioning in the standings. And, you know, the Rangers are what, four or five games up?
They're five now because Houston lost
yesterday. And so it's I don't think anybody thought, honestly, I myself didn't think it.
I said they would come in third. I was optimistic. Yeah. I was more than you. I optimistic said they'd come in third. I thought the Astros would come in second, and I thought Seattle was the emerging team doing this. And it's great to be wrong in a situation like this, but it is. I remember last year, one of the things we worried about this time last year, we were coming into a trade deadline, and I actually, you know, I took some crap over this because I did admit that I did it. I thought, is Adolis somebody that might could get moved for a good haul since we're still – obviously need a few more pieces to get into this thing. And luckily no one listens to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was a stupid idea, but that's okay. That's the way this thing works. Anyway, I was just unbelievably it's been fun. God, this has been so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and the Rangers may still finish third.
They could.
You know, and then
but it would take a Houston team getting two teams getting extremely hot.
Yeah.
They would have to do even better than the Rangers did the first half, but they can.
Well, yeah, I mean Houston's been playing really well.
Yeah, no. You know, Houston
the Tampa Bay, the Toronto series kind of
but kind Seattle of or off. LA The Angels or Seattle would have to get on a tear that would be better than the Rangers did in the first half.
Yeah.
And the Rangers would have to have somewhat of a collapse, which could happen. That can happen. An injury could come. But the depth have shown all the way around. They're running a little thin at starting pitching right now. But other than that, they've kind of plugged some guys in who have contributed all season.
Yeah. I don't get the Mariners. That one's a head scratcher. The Angels are hot and cold like they've been for the last 15 years.
Yeah. I think they're snake bitten. 15
is an exaggeration. Let's say 12.
I think they're snake bitten until Moreno sells the team.
Maybe. I mean, and they're an interesting. They'll be. They're the Dallas
Cowboys of the American League.
No, they're not even. They're not even like that. At least the Cowboys will make the playoffs occasionally. If the Angels are 500 at the All-Star break, are they going to trade Shohei Ohtani?
Oh wow!
You know, I mean, those are some things that this is a pretty big deal. Now, Artie Moreno is not selling the team, so
he was going to. Now he's not going to. So what is the record now? I didn't even.
Artie's got such a big ego.
Yes.
I can't envision him just letting Ohtani go, especially if
they are four over 500.
Especially if the Dodgers are the potential landing spot. I mean, that would eat at him to have to look up I-5 and see Ohtani in white and blue and doing his thing for the other team in the market. I mean, the Angels are the other team in the market, but you know what I mean. So I don't know. That'll be interesting. But again, it's.
What's the smart move, if they're 500, the smart baseball move is to probably move him and get a haul.
Yeah.
You're right. You got an owner that kind of the way Steinbrenner used to be. He was never going to concede a season. He wanted every year we should be competing for it. And
yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with that one. But circling this back to the Rangers, they could get him.
They could.
I don't know if you want to do that into the division. But if you get him, you have to re-sign him. I mean, you can't trade all those guys away and just be like, oh, okay.
Do you think they even go after him in the offseason?
I don't know. I mean, their payroll's, the luxury tax is going to be getting higher over the terms of this CBA.
Couple guys fall off.
The luxury tax is always something that Rangers ownership wants to avoid the penalty of going over it. Yeah, Martin Perez, that's $19.6 million coming off. Garver, if Garver doesn't come back, that's around $4 million. So there's $20 million right there, or $24 million right there. But, my gosh, you probably need twice that.
Yep.
I don't know about that one. But the Rangers are doing just fine.
Yep.
And they have the DeGrom issue that – we'll see how that plays out over the next, 7 weeks until the trade deadline, or basically 2 months. So let's just see what happens this weekend. And then the Rangers come home and play those Angels. They have a road trip to the Yankees and the White Sox this month. So yep. it'll be interesting. And then they close the month. June 30th is the start of a series against the Astros. That'll take you through the fourth. Well, not take it to July 3rd. It's a Friday through Monday series, which is pretty interesting. So, and then they hit the road on the 4th. They go to Boston, and then they go to D.C., and then, bam, you're at the All-Star break. And Marcus Semien and Jonah Heim and Josh Young and Nathan Eovaldi and Adolis Garcia are going to have to hop on a flight and go across the country to Seattle.
Or they should.
They should be. John Gray should be, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. I'm telling you, we'll talk more about the All-Stars when we get closer. I heard from somebody, it might have been Chris Henderson or somebody, that told me that they had done the first numbers, and Young was kind of running away with third
base. Well, they haven't been made public yet.
Okay, I don't know what he saw. Okay, anyway, but yeah. Young was running away, and I was saying Texas Tech must be representing
That's right. Because
they've got a guy that's legitimately should be an all-star.
Yeah, and I think his I think his brother Jace was a player of the month or a player of the week or something recently. So
he's a good player.
There's another name that Texas Tech can rally behind. They don't have a lot of them.
Absolutely.
I mean they have the best quarterback and then a really good third baseman and then
yep. Yeah. That's right. They got best quarterback in the NFL. It's good. All right. Now, listen, we come back. Frisco Rough Riders are going to bring us Davis Wenzel from Salt Lake City, Utah, playing for the Round Rock Express.
That's a mouthful.
Coming back, guys, we're going to be with Davis Wenzel right after this.
Your Frisco Rough Riders, folks, are in the midst of another two-week stretch. We're on the road. They return home on June 20th, which is my father-in-law's birthday. So,
my anniversary.
And John Moore's anniversary, so you can celebrate that, but they come home on the 20th. The weekend is, yeah, go out to Riders Field whenever you can because it's a great time. But starting on Thursday and really going through the weekend is a great time for fans. Thirsty Thursday, every Thursday, Friday night, June 23rd, post game fireworks on the 24th. It's great outdoors night where they have a camo hat giveaway. And then on the 25th, Crayola Experience Plano Day with, bam, post-game fireworks. Look, everybody loves fireworks. Go out and see them. Go out and see your Frisco Rough Riders. They're playing better. They have a lot of prospects. Jack Leiter, Owen White, Luis Angel Acuna, Dustin Harris. I could go on and on. I'm going to stop, though, because we don't have enough time. But the Frisco Rough Riders, thank you for your partnership. And, folks, go out and watch them play.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from Salt Lake City, where the Round Rock Express are playing
the Salt Lake City Bees.
This segment is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders, AA affiliate for the Texas Rangers. It's Davis Wenzel. This is his second time on. Davis, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing real well. I'd say you're doing good. You're the reigning
Minor League Player of the Month
for the Rangers, and then the PCL Player of the Week. Was that this week or last week? Whatever week it was, you're doing pretty good. What's going on at the plate with you?
Man, I just finally kind of settled in and found something that clicked for me. You know, I've had a lot of success swinging it in the past and in college, and I finally just found something that worked again, and just trying to keep it rolling.
What is it? What was it? What's working?
I'm just a little more under control. I'd say my move, like going towards the pitcher, my load and stuff is just a little smaller. That's how it was in college. That's how it has been pretty much my whole life when I've been hitting good. So kind of got back to what I knew and it's been working.
Yeah. So you started the season like 0-21.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take that away, you're probably a 300 hitter, but what was it? Early on, I mean, that first week, were you searching? Were you tinkering? What was, and then
yeah,
you found
was,
it?
That was, yeah, for sure. It was weird because I had a really good spring training. I had good big league at bats in spring training and on the backfields in the minor league games, I was doing well by all means. And then right when the season hits, it just happened to be that time of the year when I was feeling bad. And I mean, it was probably some of my fault too. I probably searched a little too much, but I could tell there was just something there that wasn't, didn't feel comfortable and didn't feel like it was me. So,
yeah. So who was it? A team effort? Was it Cody Atkinson, who we know you're close to from the last time you're on the show? What, who helped you out the most?
I mean, I think it was a team effort. I kind of sat down with, our hitting coach in Round Rock and just said, like, look, as I started to kind of roll after the after I went 0 for however many at bats it was at the beginning, I started to get going a little bit, but still not to where I thought I could. And I sat down with him and I said, look, I still feel like I have a lot more in the tank. I feel like I can do better than this. I think this is the best version of this swing that I've had, but I still think I have more. And so we kind of just started to tinker with it from there and tried to simplify things. And And it's been working. Does that mean that it's always going to be working like this? No, but we found something that I can work with.
Yeah. I mean, you took a couple of days off, right? I mean, you guys kind of went to work on it.
I don't think I ever took more than one day off. Oh, okay. But there's definitely, on those off days, there's definitely a lot of swings being taken and a lot of work in the cages and making it down to the field for game time right at the last minute just to prepare for it. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, John over here is choking. What's going on?
I've got allergies. They're bugging the crud out of me. Sorry about that.
So the big thing with you though, now that you're hitting, but even before then, is the health. And I mean, it seems like this is the longest you've ever been healthy consecutively. I don't want to exaggerate
but you're probably right.
You turned pro, I mean, this is a pretty good streak that you're going on. So I know it's always been a thing for you. What did you do anything? Did you get stronger? Did you start doing yoga? I mean, I don't know. Anything that you can pinpoint?
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. I think that was the biggest focus of this off season was to stay healthy. And so I knew that if I stayed healthy and was able to find a rhythm, I would find something that worked, and done it my whole career. I've never been someone who got hurt until pro ball for some reason. And so I finally just spent a full off season. The Rangers set me up with a really good PT back home, and we just made a whole off season of getting healthy. And then the last probably quarter of the off season was just trying to find a plan for me every single day at the field to have a good routine, good activation, and a good plan that I can stay healthy. That's through like stretching, through warming up every day, and then in my lifts. So everything has kind of been slightly tweaked and molded to help me stay on the field for my body. Everyone's body is different. Some guys can do different things in the season that'll help them stay healthy. And I feel like I found something that can help me stay out there and stay healthy.
Yeah. I mean, you're an athletic guy. I mean, that was always the thing that Chris Woodward loved about you was, you know, he said, he would say, Davis is so athletic. And I mean, you can play everywhere, but you know, bodies as John's over 50, I'm getting there. we're learning, and we don't do half the stuff that you do. So
no kidding.
It's a puzzle, but you're right. Everybody's different.
Absolutely.
You can't treat everybody the same. I guess I don't know. I'm just glad that you're able to find something. Now, some of it, like, you know, I know back injuries. I know you dealt with that last year. That was kind of a mystery, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, it was pretty, I think at first it was a mystery, but once we got like some scans on my back, it was pretty straightforward. Just, I think, a slightly bulging disc, and it was just pushing on some nerves. So it was just really irritated and pissed off. But once you got that under control, it was pretty straightforward. And so after that, once we figured that out, it was just being able to get my hips and my lower back to be able to move properly. So it takes the stress off of that, puts it on the big muscles. Yeah.
I mean, last season you still hit for a lot of power. And I know that the previous off season you'd worked with trying to get some lift in your swing. It seems like, based on what you're saying, you feel like this is, it's all come together. I mean, and like you said, it could go away, you know, depending on how they pitch you, but this is as good as you felt for a while.
Yeah. I mean, hitting is a never ending struggle. I would say you're always trying to find what works, but this is by far the best I've felt in pro ball, and makes me kind of feel back to where I was when I was drafted, and just that place where I feel like I can handle anything that they throw at me. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, 41st overall pick, it's not like you were taken in the 30th round. I mean, it's
not
everybody knows you can play. It's just, you got to get out there and play. So
yeah.
So good for you.
It's all about being healthy. And then you can really find what you're doing. First, stay on the field. Then you get it. And that's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're completely healthy, and now you're starting to get to where you can, you work out your kinks on your swing or whatever. And here we are.
Yeah.
And you're going to be a dad, right?
Yes, I am coming up here soon.
That's it. How do you play with that on your mind?
I think it's definitely something that you think about, but I think it's just like everything in baseball. Like you have a lot of things on your mind. Like, oh, I just took a horrible swing on the pitch before, but I think you just have to relock into to every single pitch. So right before every pitch, maybe I'm worried about getting hit, or maybe I'm worried about being a dad that pitch, but you have to lock in and just take it one pitch at a time.
So are you checking
I am pretty excited to be a dad. That'll be cool.
I mean, it is coming, right? I mean, it's
how quick is it? I had a little technical difficulty there, David. Sorry about that. That was on our end. It wasn't even usually. It's on their end. It's
the hotel. Like, the Seattle hotel is the shits.
Yeah, no which kidding.
Nate Lowe, God bless him. Took forever to get through us one day. But we were talking about the baby.
Yes. Boy or girl?
Yes. Boy.
All right.
Well, Jeff is a nice name. I don't know if you have it settled on anything, but Jeff is a really nice name. But, I mean, this is about to happen, right?
Yeah, I think should be coming up late July. So,
oh, okay,
we'll see.
Oh, okay, late July. I thought you know who told me about it was Eddie Kelly. Told me that you were getting close and about. I mean, what is it? There's like four or five guys here having kids this summer. I mean, DeGrom just had one.
Otto, Dunning.
Dunning, Otto. Now we got Wenzel. I mean, everybody everybody got about the same time decided to start playing.
Let's go back 9 months.
What was going on then? Was that the end of last?
I guess this is the start of the off season, right?
It could have been. Yeah, finally some time with the wife. I get it. Yep. I don't know.
We're men here, Davis. You know, fathers. Okay. So, but that's great. So, congratulations on that.
You got a name?
Not. I think we have one, but we're not really sure yet. So,
okay, yeah. not ready to announce.
Wait until
that.
The day.
Yeah. Not ready to announce.
Is your wife? Where's your wife? Is she with you? Will she be?
She's in Austin. Okay. She's been with me all year, but she's not flying right now. So
yeah, no, I get it. But is she? So is everything going to happen in Austin?
Yeah, that's the plan. We picked out the hospital. We have everything planned out. So should be happening in Austin, and I think her parents will be coming out, and my parents will be out there. So should be good.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It's a good time. And yeah, I'm sure they'll they might be more excited than you. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. I tell every new dad this, and you're gonna think I'm crazy. Okay, so it's gonna be that first week. It's gonna be about 2 or 3 in the morning, dead tired, feeding the baby. You're gonna be exhausted. Even little things will creep in your head about like, wow, was this worth this? All of that. Just I want you to take comfort. Just remember in those moments that while you're dead tired and asleep, I will be sound asleep and I will be resting comfortably and you don't have to worry about me. I'll be good.
Yeah. I won't be worrying about you. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be worrying about John either.
No.
And the first diaper, the first poop is black.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's called meconium. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
But if you do the first diaper and you're like, hey, this isn't normal. Yeah, it's perfectly normal. It's perfectly normal. Because I was like, what the hell has my son done?
Yes. Well, that's exciting, man. I'm super excited for you. Being a new parent is just something that, like, Jeff and I both know this is going to be great for you. So let's get back to a little bit before we get you out of here. What else did you have?
You ask your questions.
Hey, you know what? Last time I talked to you, we talked about where you grew up, all that fun stuff. We found out about your finger that you got cut off, which is we still use as the example when we're getting other guys to do it. So we're talking about some teammates here. So we have some fun with some teammates. The guys you've been playing with the last few years, who's the best dressed?
Oh, best dressed. Oh, Ozuna. Ozuna, he comes out with the most swag. He's such a humble guy, such a nice guy, but he is definitely the best dressed.
All right.
Who's the funniest? Who keeps everybody laughing?
I don't know. I think I love me and Matt Watley are roommates, and so we get into some he goes off sometimes at nights, and he's hilarious.
Matt Watley is another new dad. He had a baby in February, so he was late to spring training. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
he took care of his business in season.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he planned it right.
He had a couple off days there or something. How about the pranksters? Watley the prankster too? Are there? I'm noticing there's not a lot of pranksters now. We used to prank each other all the time.
I gotta think that there's not a whole ton of pranks that go on. Yeah, Watt kind of keeps the clubhouse on their toes for sure.
It's a good skill.
All right, this is one of my fun ones to ask, and it's about if you got in a back alley fight somewhere, you know, coming out of a pub or something, who's the guy you want standing with you? You know you're going to be all right if this guy's standing with
you.
Not
that Davis drinks. He went to Baylor.
No, I'm not saying that, but, you know, you could get caught up. Maybe you're walking somewhere else. But who's the guy you want next to you if there's going to be a brawl?
Man, there's some big dudes on that team. I got to think. The first one that pops in my mind is Elier Hernandez. I mean, I would love to hide behind that guy if we got in a fight. So
he's killing it right now.
Yeah,
he is. That guy puts the bat on the ball every time. It's pretty impressive.
Well, listen, I know you're about to get out of there. We'll ask a couple more and get you out of there. Anything you're binge watching right now, you and the wife, or anything like that that you're doing?
I would say Survivor. Survivor is kind of our go-to binge watch together. Yeah. We found it on Paramount Plus and has every season, and we got hooked.
Did you start at season one?
No. We tried that once, and it back in the 1, 2, 3, those seasons were so boring compared to the ones nowadays.
I think Cole Hamill's ex-wife was one of the very first Survivors.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
hey, is there anything you do on the team plane? Like, do you watch a movie? Is there, you got a routine or what you're doing out there?
Well,
I mean, when we fly Southwest, usually in my middle seat, I'll usually download a movie on Netflix or something like that. But usually it's, I try not to fall asleep and kick my neighbor or something like that.
Okay. Did you see the Jordan movie? What, the Air movie? Have you seen that one?
I haven't seen that one.
That one's pretty good.
That one's good. Okay.
That's solid.
It's a good recommendation.
I would recommend that one. It's Ben Affleck is hysterical.
Yeah, he is funny.
It's really good. So you gotta check that one out. It's a good movie.
All right. So you've been down in Austin for a little while. What's the little hole in the wall place that you like to go eat there? Anything we should know? I think Jeff and I are gonna try to get down there sometime before the end of the season. Maybe do a show down there. Anything we need to go see? Some place that's not on the radar that you found?
I found one little spot called Arpita's. It's like they just got some really good, I don't even know, it's Latin food, but Arpita's. It's really, really good. All the Latin guys love it, and so it has to be good.
How do you spell it?
I don't Arpita's. Know.
Is it? So it's not like Tex-Mex?
No. It's real, real Latin food.
So you get the plantains and all that, that jazz?
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
We're gonna hit you up when we get there and find out where that place is.
Yeah, you guys got a good group of guys.
Yeah, you do.
We do.
I mean, you talk about Matt, but you know, Huff, you're going on the lizard bat skin company tour with him, and
I think they're waiting on me right now.
I'd imagine a lot of guys would want to go on that, but
yeah.
I mean, it's got to, and then when you're winning, it's got to be. But anyway. To have a good group of guys, how important is that for a baseball team? Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, especially in AAA, you could get a bad group of guys or a salty group of guys or whatever pretty quick. And so having a good group of guys there, it really makes a big difference.
I mean, we've had, just off the top of our head, we've had Huff, Krim, Davis, Foscue, Bradford, Mark Church. I mean, I'm sure we're missing a couple guys, but we enjoy the camaraderie with you guys. We're not part of the team, obviously, but you guys give us some great insight, and you guys are just so relaxed and can talk, and it's
fun.
I don't want to say it's unusual, but sometimes you can run into some tough interviews. It's been my experience.
Well, I'm glad I'm not one of those.
Yeah, we are too. Else we wouldn't have had you back.
Anything else?
No, let's get him. He's got a tour to go on.
He's got to go on Lizard Tour. Yeah. Hey, listen, in all honesty, congratulations on the baby. If we don't see you before he gets here, we're excited for you. Keep up the good work. The what you're putting together right now, it's a great season. We'll try to catch you when we're there.
I got to give a shout out to your mom, who is a loyal Rangers Today subscriber. So.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Still going. We appreciate it. Denise.
Denise, there we go. Absolutely. All right, guys, that's Davis Wenzel from Salt Lake City. Davis, Go on the Lizards Kid thing. We really appreciate you joining us, bud.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
All right, bud. We'll see you later.
All right. All right, bye.
Bye.
Down in the Bus Leagues is brought to you by the Round Rock Express, the AAA affiliate of the Texas Rangers. As we just talked about with Davis Wenzel, they are in Salt Lake City, but they are coming home next week for a two-week homestand. You know, the state baseball tournament is being played at Dell Diamond right now. They're coming home for 2 weeks, starting June 13th. That's next Monday. A lot of promotions on this homestand for your Round Rock Express. If you happen to be in the area, if you're in Round Rock in the Austin area listening right now, they too have a Thirsty Thursday. They have that every Thursday on Friday, June 16th. It's always a fun. They're the Chupacabras de Round Rock. They'll be getting giving away Chupacabra jerseys. We all know what those are, right? A good night there on Saturday, June 17th. They continue to be the Chupacabras. There's a game highlight. There's a Latino Legends auction. Game highlight is the guest Spanish announcer Adolfo Lavoz Prieto on Sunday, June 18th. Latin America Market. Prieto is back, and it's always Kid Day on Sunday. So go out and see your Round Rock Express.
All right, guys, and this segment is Down in the Bus Leagues, brought to you. Big thanks to Davis Wenzel for joining us, by the way, on the Frisco Rough Rider Hotline. Now we're going down to the Round Rock, Down in the Bus Leagues, brought to you by the Round Rock Express, as you just heard. Okay, let's go to every or part of the organization we got. We could talk about each team, where we're at. Obviously, the best team playing right now is AAA, but we're going to start down in the – actually, they're not playing too bad either. It's down at Down East.
Yeah.
Down East Wood Ducks are 30-20, 7-3 in their last 10. They just won one. A couple of guys doing Camp Cawley has actually kind of come on all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, this is his second time at Down East. And
he's not a college kid.
And a lot of guys who have done well, they're comfortable.
Right.
They finally have gotten comfortable. And so now that they're comfortable where they are, it's finally getting ready to take off. And Cawley started slow. I wrote this in Friday on the Farm last week, but he was making the right swing decisions. So the Rangers were always encouraged by that and figured that it was just a matter of time. And it turns out that they're right because he's been really, really good. Tommy Specht, who is the, I want to say the sixth-round pick last year from Iowa, knew Ian Muller. Who's also Down East, but Tommy has graduated from extended spring training and has really launched into his career here with Down East. He's hitting like .386, I think, in his first few games. Left-handed batter. It's been really good. So, you know, obviously it's a week or two into his career, so it's too early to say. Oh man,
another outfielder,
another victory. I think so for another victory for the Rangers scouting department, but they like this guy a lot.
Was he a high school kid?
Yeah, and they were able to get the deal done, and so that's a pretty good one. And nice kid. I talked to him a couple times in spring training this year. So that's another name to follow.
Well, you know, while we're talking about it, the DSL Dominican Summer League and the Arizona Complex League are starting up, right? Have they started?
I think they started this week.
Yeah. Okay. So Sebastian Walcott, that's the name. We'll get some more data on him. I haven't looked up what exactly he's done starting the first week. I know his first game, he did get a hit, went 1-for-4, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. But I'll get some more. This year they're posting those stats. Apparently they were a little harder to get a hold of last year. But let's go to Hickory. High A. Unfortunately, 19-31. They're not playing
they're
well.
They're struggling.
They're 4-6 in their last 10. They've lost a couple in a row. They got no hit.
They got no hit the other night. Poor old Josh Steven was on the wrong side of that. I mean, he pitched 5-4. It was like 2-0 game or 1-0. He pitched 5 scoreless, gave up 3 hits. You know, they skipped him in a start a couple weeks ago toward the end of May, and he was just.
We got to get him on.
It was called. It was described to me as he was unusually sore, or he was more sore than normal after his previous start. So they just skipped him, and he came back. He threw three innings, did fine, and now he's up to five. It looks like the reins are back off again. But he's pitching well. Dane Acker is in Hickory, and he tossed four scoreless.
He's done well.
Tuesday night, I think on one hit, he has a 2 ERA after his three starts. It's only been nine innings as they build him in, but he was.
So he's not going more than like three innings a game or something.
Well, he went four the other night, so I think it's just a gradual buildup. So I would guess, simple.
He's an under the radar starting pitcher. That's the injury is derailed, but once he gets going, and no one's talking about him just because.
Well, a lot of people were talking about him during spring training because he was pitching so well, and then he's so talented and but you're right. It's kind of like Davis,
He's an OU guy,
it's
right?
Great, but you got to stay healthy. And so he finished at Oklahoma. so for him, it's just stay healthy, make your starts, log your innings. I would expect that Dane, who's twice been on our show,
right,
is at Frisco well before the end of the season.
Yeah.
So,
but he's older too. He's a college kid.
Yeah, he's
so
older.
If he continues to do what he's doing there, they're gonna challenge him a little bit.
Sure.
So who is okay? So Hickory, as far as hitting, Ortiz has been promoted up there.
Abby. We'll just call him Abby.
Abby Ortiz. Max Acosta's there. Let's see here. So I'm trying to see who are some names that are there that have done well.
Well, that's just it. They just got no hit and lost 2-1. Their offense has been the problem there. Larson Kindrich is starting to pitch well. Our good friend Mitch Bratt is pitching just fine. It's not the starting rotation there. It's the bats, and they were short going into the season. They're still short. Although Acosta has done well. Ortiz, since he's been promoted, has done well, and I think I kind of slighted him a little bit last week. He has done a nice job getting into better shape, getting stronger, getting more athletic. So good for him. Again, with the Rangers not having a ton of depth in the minor leagues, you never know. Or a ton of depth at first base,
right?
You never know. So so anyway, I just want to straighten out the record. He's not like you and me. He's in much better shape.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, Frisco, 24-29. That's actually a little improvement. They're 4-6 in their last 10, though, and they've lost one. Obviously, you go to the two starting pitchers there that have continue to have good outings. That's Jack Flatter and Owen White.
Yeah, I think that any Rangers prospect who's listening needs to understand the effect that our show has on players.
Absolutely.
And Owen White, since he came on, has had two of his best starts of the season. And
right.
Undoubtedly, his most recent start was his best start.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
Seven innings, one hit, two walks. So that was Tuesday night. So you know what? If you're looking to turn your magic around, reach out to us, and maybe we can get you on the show. But Leiter, he was the Rangers Pitcher of the Month for May. Significant development for him, for the whole organization, just the way he's pitching and not experimenting out there anymore, trying to figure things out. He's competing. He talked about it on one of our YouTube videos that we took that night. We were out there that he pitched. And
yep,
he's just different.
Yep,
That's good.
He's competing. He wants to win now. He was, these guys get into a development mode. It's all about getting to the big leagues and working. But he's like, I needed to become mean and want to win. And that, Owen White, that's what's driven him the whole time. I mean, he's punched a mound because he.
Yeah. I mean, look, these guys are good.
Yes.
They have stuff and do a lot of great things. But they also, one thing that separated Owen from Jack was how competitive Owen was. And then Kumar Rocker, who we know.
And not to say Jack's not competitive, but he's a polished kid from a major league pitcher that's probably been taught, don't let it linger, get out there, work your stuff. But there's a point where you just need to get pissed off.
Yeah, yeah. And, Kumar Rocker is we know he's out for the year, but a fierce competitor. So you wonder if maybe some of that rubbed off on Jack, and he just finally said, "The hell with it. I'm tired of this crap. I'm good. I'm going to go show it."
Yep. And he told us that, and it's just been good. Now, as far as at the plate, Evan Carter's on the, what is it called? The
development list.
He's still dealing with that wrist, right?
Yeah. That's why he's on there. And they, you know, it led to some swing habits. I mean, some bad swing habits as he tried to play through it. So they're resetting him, kind of, you know, that's fine. He'll be fine. And when he gets back, he's going to be fine. Aaron Zavala is still looking to get going. He's hitting 240. Had a rough night the other night in Corpus, but everybody did. That's just
getting some reps. He needs to get some bats.
Yeah.
I mean, he's finally back from an injury that you know, he needs to just go. I have no doubt about it. After the All-Star break, this is a guy that's going to kick in, I think.
It won't take that long. Yeah.
He's going to he needs to get going. So JC's kind of been the guy that's he's been good.
Yeah. Future guest on the show. We'd talk to him about it when we were out there and just
been on once. You know, he's I love the grind of it. Everybody, that was a great answer, but we'll get Thomas back on for sure. But man, he has been something else.
Yeah.
He has looked good. He's looked good on the field.
Right.
Still doesn't use the batting gloves. I saw him hitting with batting gloves one day in batting practice. I was out there early. I was like, "What the heck? You know, what are you doing, dude?" He's like, "I got blisters." I said, "So are you going to use the batting gloves?" He goes, "I don't know." Goes up that first time at bat, no batting gloves, man. Yeah. He's just got to have the grip. That's just old school, man. I dig it.
All right.
Round Rock, 34-26. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've won two. Davis, Huff.
Right. Davis.
Elier Hernandez.
Sam Huff, Elier Hernandez. Blaine Crim has been really, really high.
Foster.
Blaine Crim had a game last week where he had two triples.
Wow.
Yeah, speed demon Blaine Crim.
That's right.
I watched the plays, and you know, it for him to get a triple, no offense, Blaine, but it takes the outfielder falling down or carom, and both happened on each triple. But overall he's just been hitting the ball really, really well.
You get the nod that Benji Molina gets, who by the way was in town with the Cardinals the other day.
And Benji's looking good.
Yeah, he's thinned up.
He had some health issues, and he's kind of grabbed the bull by the horns. He looked really good. So Blaine's doing well. There's a lot of offense down there. Bubba Thompson's now there. He was optioned down.
He had a good night the other night.
JP Martinez
is back up.
Has returned from the injured list. So I would expect that Round Rock starts making life hell on pitchers again. Yeah,
because that and you know what, it's good that last year the major league team did not play well, but all the minor league team did.
Yeah,
but now what you're starting to see is the major league team is playing so well. Your Triple A team, which they've got players there, are playing well. Double A, they've dealt with some funky injuries and just, you know, a little bit of growing pain. But your upper levels are actually not bad at all.
Yeah.
You've got some talent there that can help at the big league level. And it's good to see, you know, they're trying to promote winning throughout the organization. Only one right now is kind of Hickory that's scuttling along, but it's just getting offense going and stuff like that. And it's all about development at that level too. So, I mean, wins and losses mean nothing to the organization, but I know Hickory fans want to see it.
Yeah, but the players want to win. They don't like to lose. Nobody likes to lose. It's hard to go to the ballpark when you're not good. And but you know the way they do things, they'll restart the records at after the All-Star break. And
I
mean, it's conceivable that Hickory could have a great second half and still make the playoffs. It's just right now.
Maybe some down east guys make their way.
Yeah, up. Just not going well right now. I think to your point, when the success at the upper levels, you kind of. You know, when you're a winning major league team, you look, as we were talking about earlier, you know, kind of bullpen options, and you know, if the Rangers need a bat, their bat's down there. You know, if you know, they're Glenn Otto is going to have to come off the 60 day,
right?
You know, Danny Duffy and Kyle Funkhauser, who are on minor league deals and potential options to be in the bullpen, they're out on rehab assignment right now. If they're going to get added to the major league roster, they have to go on the 40-man roster.
Right.
So you're talking about a bunch of 40-man spots that have to come open. Well, Sandy Leon, as well as he he's done, especially with John Gray.
Maybe he's not going anywhere right now.
Yeah, but at some point, you're going to need a roster spot.
Right.
And do you want to lose Sandy Leone, or do you want to lose one of your really good prospects? I lean towards Sandy Leone because I think Sam Huff is serviceable.
Right.
Sam Huff, if something were to happen to Mitch Garver or Jonah Heim, Sam Huff can come up and be serviceable behind the plate.
You think you lose Sandy if you DFA him, or will he?
Yeah. He would have the right to become a free agent. there are teams that have
a need.
Are missing need. They don't have much catching depth. I think he would find a home pretty quickly.
The big leagues again, probably.
Yeah. But you know, these are just kind of the things that winning teams are having to think about.
Yeah.
And
it's a nice problem to have.
But, you know, if something were to happen to, I don't know, I don't want to jinx anybody, but if something were to happen to a regular, there are regulars who could come up and fill in.
Brad Miller could go on the 60-day deal with his phantom oblique shin guard problem that he has. I mean, that was, you know, he's on the look, Brad's one of the nicest guys, man. He is so friendly to talk to.
Yeah.
I have wondered. I mean, he wasn't getting any playing time. I mean, he was like Culberson last year. He was that guy on the end of the bench that you need on every team.
Yeah.
And he served a purpose sitting down there. Right now it's kind of sandy, except for John Gray starts that they're getting him in. Uh-huh. That guy that sits on the end, and Josh Smith, who's not playing a whole lot. But we're down in the bus leagues, though. I'm talking about the big league team again. But
well, but, I mean, it's all it's tied in here, you know. I mean, and Bubba Thompson was not playing a lot, so now he is in the minor leagues. And
right.
They expect him to figure things out and come back up. So
yep.
We look forward to seeing Bubba again because he's such a good guy. And I'm telling you, in September, Bubba Thompson is a critical piece.
Yep.
He's a defensive upgrade. And he can go steal you a base, yep. Or he can score from first in the ninth inning on a ball to the wall, and
he is a
piece for a winning team,
and they'll have the extra. What do they get? Four extra spots or something? Now it used to be
it's two, I think, two or three, but you know, and one thing to keep in mind when Chris Young was pitching for the Royals and they won their World Series, and Dayton Moore, who's Chris Young's assistant, was the head of baseball operations for the Royals, they had a guy, I think I got his name right, Terrence Gore.
Okay.
Terrence Gore didn't do anything except run.
Yep.
And he was a key part of those playoff teams. And I'm telling you.
And it makes pitchers uneasy when they get on base.
It's a winning piece, right. You know, and you deploy. I mean, look at Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
What's Dave Roberts known for? He stole a base in game four of the 2004 ALCS against Mariano Rivera and ended up scoring. And Boston comes back and wins the series. You know, there are guys like that who just you got to have. And Bubba's got the potential to be one of them.
Absolutely. He does serve a purpose. I've said that all along. I'm glad he's getting to go down there. There's just – they've got a lot of guys up there now that – you know, they're going to have to – some of these guys are going to have to get moved, I think.
Well, now I'm
– there's some Florida-man guys that are going to be including in deals to get them.
I would think so. I think that – I mean, we – thought, I mean, that question came up at the winter meetings in December.
Yep.
When we were talking to Chris Young. I mean, that's something that's going to have to happen.
Yep. So. All right. Are we out of here?
Yeah, we're out of here.
That's 86 in the book.
86 in the books.
Slowly creeping up to 100, man.
Yeah, we're going to have to line somebody up for 100. We're going to have to plan this out.
Maybe we need to do 100 on a location somewhere.
Maybe.
Who knows? That's going to be a fun one. Guys. 86 of them are in the book. Thanks to Davis Wenzel for joining us from Salt Lake. The Rangers are playing good. Tampa Bay Rays, they're in Tampa tonight for a great series over the weekend. There's only one thing to really complain about right now, and that's just bad news with Jacob DeGrom. We feel for him. Very endearing. He was upset, and I think when you've got a team like this, he wanted to contribute, and that's why what made him emotional. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am glad he didn't try to do the let's see if we can wait it out. Let's get it over with.
Yeah.
There's part of me, in a way, if this is what was going to happen, I wish they'd have found it before the season even started. And you know what? He's going to be back in the middle of next year.
Well.
But you know what? This is a guy that's going to – I think he's going to attack getting ready, and he's going to be back as soon as he's – able, but now he knows what it is. I'm getting it fixed. he's going to attack it because I think he wants to be a part of this group. He likes this group.
That's right.
He's happy. Guys, he's been happy with this team.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, we just tried to close it out, but you keep bringing stuff up. I really think that the New York media and the whole New York situation kind of played into what he was feeling Tuesday night. He wanted to be healthy to maybe prove them wrong or whatever it is. You know, but he's definitely a happy guy in Texas. Maybe not happy right now. Maybe not happy next week when he has surgery. But he just had a baby too. So
yep. Jacob DeGrom is going to pitch for this team, and he's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I don't care. He's only going to be, when he comes back, he's going to be probably close to 36. He's 34 now. He's not 39 years old like Verlander was or whatever. He's going to be coming back with a vengeance, and they still have 2 years with an option. And that option could kick in, too, that he has on the end of this. We may get three years out of him.
Well, this is the first year. It's a five-year deal, so it could be 4 years. So,
right.
Anyway.
All right.
We were terrible business people. At no point did we say subscribe to RangersToday.com for $5.99 a month or $60
a year. There's a lot to talk about, yeah.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're over 1,700 subscribers now.
Yep.
Thank you to the Dub Network for their support.
Yep.
We're a little engine that could, I think, and hopefully we get over that. We're getting over the hill. We're almost to the top, and hopefully it's all downhill from here.
Absolutely. Okay.
Now, guys, we're done.
Until then, we'll see you at the yard.